Hey everyone, it's Deb. I'm a dating coach and you're listening to my podcast, Debbie Does Dating. Today, we're talking with Andrea Winkler about financial advice, part two.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson, sponsored by Dating by Deb.
Okay, Andrea, thanks for being on again.
Yeah.
You just have a wealth of knowledge.
This is my favorite place to be.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. You're so fun, too. You're making this very interesting and fun on such a heavy, not fun, boring subject.
I'll try not to speak too much, accountant.
Okay, I'm here with Andrea Winkler. She's a CPA and partner at Davis & Bott CPAs in Brigham City. And I'm going to share with you first an awkward dating moment that actually happened to me. So I'd been dating this guy for a little bit, maybe a month or so, maybe 2 months. Anyway, we were taking a drive and just having a good time talking, and I liked him. We liked each other. And I was just looking out the window at all the houses. He's like, tell me what you like about those houses, the houses or the yards or whatever. And so I was looking and pointing, picking things out that I liked about them, the shutters or the porch. We drove past this one. I'm like, oh my gosh, that lawn. It's so beautiful. It looks like a golf course. And then we drove a little bit further and I was like, oh, it is a golf course. And it's the way he looked at me. He just looked at me like, oh.
Bless your heart.
Exactly. I felt kind of foolish, but I know how to admire some good lawn.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The questions I had, you brought up the subject last time about a revolving savings account.
Yes.
And I was very curious because that sounds like something awesome.
Yes.
What is it?
In fact, I've often called it life-changing.
What? I need it.
And
I need to hear it.
Budget saving. Life-changing, budget saving. Biggest tip of the century.
Wow, that sounds like it should be on a t-shirt.
It does. Maybe we should have one made. So revolving savings. This is one of the very first things I learned in my financial journey.
Okay.
And it is actually super helpful. So I don't know if any of you all have those months where, for example, for me, it's August. Mm-hmm. That was the month I got married.
Oh, wow.
So I have my anniversary. For some reason, I like to buy cars that month.
Oh, really? So, that's your car buying month, huh?
My car buying August. Month. Yep. So all my vehicle registrations are due pretty much in August. It's probably just because I've been having so much fun in the summer. I'm like, hey.
Yeah. Car time. I need a new car.
Yeah. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Anyway, so I have like my car registrations.
And school.
It's school fee time. It's school close time. It's all the things that happen. And if you have not prepared for that, it can wreck your budget so bad. So basically what we do is we do this thing called a revolving savings, and everyone should do this.
Okay.
So biggest tip,
yeah,
I hope everyone has their ears open.
Open your ears.
And you're listening to this.
Okay.
So basically how it works is you go through your life and you see everything that comes up that doesn't happen every budget cycle. Let's say you get paid monthly.
Okay.
Then your budget cycle would be monthly.
Okay.
If you get paid every 2 weeks and you want to split it down further, some people like to do that. Like first check goes to the mortgage, second check goes to this, whatever. Whatever your budget cycle is. But you look through your life and you come up with everything that is a non-budget cycle item. So if it happens once a year, if it happens every 6 months, birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries, car registrations, school fees, school clothes. There's a ton of stuff that just like, if you pay your auto insurance every 6 months, I do that. So when that premium comes due, it's kind of high.
Okay.
But like, I'm ready for it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So anyway.
Your ears were open.
Because my ears were open. I listened that day. Anyway, so you add up all of those items.
Okay.
You divide that number by 12. Because it looks like a huge number.
Yeah, that makes sense.
When you have the total, it looks like a huge number. You're like, holy crap, how am I going to come up with all that money? Divided by 12, it's a much smaller, much more digestible number.
Yes.
Then every single month, you need to transfer that money automatically into a separate savings account. This is your revolving savings account.
Do you recommend to put that in a whole different bank too? Or
you can. It just depends on how good you are at not spending it.
Oh, okay.
It needs to be already spent. So in your mind, that account, that money has already been spent.
Okay.
Because it will be spent, okay, and it's already allocated to something else, right?
I think some credit unions or banks offer this like a Christmas fund or something. And they take a certain amount out of your, or you can put a certain amount out of your check into a separate account. It probably is the same thing. They just called it a Christmas account.
Yeah, same idea. I like to do it all in one because of the timing thing. Because every month, true, if I'm putting $300 every month into that account, then some months I'm going to spend $1,000 of that. Some months I'm going to spend...
That's true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And since it's all the different things, then you just know that money's there.
Okay.
But whereas, like, if you're doing it only for Christmas, you'd have to start at a certain time and you'd have to know...
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
But some people, that's the only way they can get it to work is they have to have, like, specific goals or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for me, I like having everything that's not a normal cycle in that account.
Okay.
You can put it in a checking account or savings account or whatever. Whatever makes it easy for you to remember to pay it out of there too.
Wow.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the money's just there. So when those big things come up, you're like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, it's Christmas? How about I not put that on a credit card? How about if I just pull it in my revolving savings account because I already have it? Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So
what do you have when major things come up, like appliance fix-its, or you have to replace it or whatever?
Yeah, so that's what I would call an emergency fund.
Okay.
So that's going to be a separate issue.
Okay.
So that's one of those things that you just have to figure out
how much you want to put in there or whatever.
Yeah, and then just get that little buffer built up, knowing, like, if you know, hey, in a couple of years, I'm going to want to replace all my appliances. That's going to be a major, major purchase. I'm going to start saving. If I need this much money by this date, I can save this or a little more, whatever you can afford to do. And then that money's ready when you're ready for that big purchase. Or you just do what you can afford so that for unforeseen things come up, like a major repair that you weren't planning on. Maybe you don't replace your brakes or check them forever, like somebody in my family. And then all of a sudden you got to replace your rotors and your brakes. Yeah. And you know what I mean? And it turns into like what could have been a couple hundred bucks is now
major.
Yeah. So those kind of things I would do in a emergency fund.
Oh, okay.
Separate bank account.
Okay. So really, how many separate accounts do you have? You have your bills that you pay out.
Yeah.
Pay out of.
Normal monthly budget account.
Okay.
And then I have always just like a saving for fun stuff.
Oh, you have a fun account.
I have a fun savings.
I like that one. Mm-hmm.
Then I have obviously retirement accounts, but those are totally separate. And then I have like an emergency fund that's in a bank. The other thing about the emergency fund is it's helpful if it's not somewhere you can get to easily.
Oh, that's
so that you only use it for emergencies.
Okay.
So like mine, for example, I have it Members First.
Okay.
Because I have to actually go to the bank and think about it to get
it
out.
Harder to
do. Because my other bank normally I use is like online. And so everything I do is on my app.
Okay.
But I can never remember my login for Members First.
Well, perfect.
So it's
You're never going to get it.
So I have to actually go to the bank if
and
I need to get
to
that
someone.
Money. And yes, and talk to somebody.
That's such a good idea.
But then I'm less tempted to do it.
Yeah.
So it really has to be something that I really need to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good idea. Okay, that brings me to my next question, because I had a question on couples. Say someone is getting married.
I wonder who that could be.
So what do you suggest? Because let's say that it's me. We've lived on our own for
separate life
a very long time. Me longer than him. What do you suggest? Because we've had our own accounts. Do you just get married and throw everything together?
Or it all in?
Yeah. For me, I feel like that's a little confusing and a little, I don't know, I kind of want to ease into it.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
So what do you suggest?
Yeah, so there's lots of different scenarios out there. And there are a lot of different kinds of couples out there.
Okay.
So there are couples that absolutely cannot mix their money.
Okay.
Or it just makes them crazy and stresses them out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why is that? Is it they just need to have control over their
money? Usually it's a control thing. If one spouse especially is particularly controlling and the other spouse is not,
okay,
it's nice for the other spouse to have a little bit of their own money that they don't have to account for
to
the other spouse.
Okay.
Like, that can be a really healthy thing in a relationship. Because if you're always fighting about money, that's like a massive reason why people don't get along or people get divorced.
Yeah.
Because they fight about what's important to spend their money on, right?
So if they had separate...
If they have separate accounts, and let's say like one spouse is in charge of the budget stuff, like the house payment and the utilities and the whatever, they can both contribute to that account.
Okay.
Like, you can say, okay, well, I'm providing this amount and I'm providing this amount for the bills. You can both contribute to
that account.
Budget account.
Okay.
And then you can still have your own separate play money accounts for the extra stuff.
Yeah.
That's one way that people can structure it. Another way people structure it is they have completely separate accounts and they just say, okay, you're always going to be responsible for the mortgage.
Okay.
I'm always going to be responsible for the utilities or whatever. Like, you can break it up so that it's about the same amounts or whatever you want to do. If you're both working and you have similar incomes, if you're both working and you have way dissimilar incomes, then you might say, well, your income can cover these expenses for our household.
Okay.
My income can cover these expenses for our household because this is what I can afford. This is what you can afford. You make sure those bills are paid. I'll make sure these bills are paid. And we can get along and be fine. And we can spend the rest of our money on whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
The hard thing about that, that you've got to be careful about, is it's hard to make goals together.
If you keep everything separate. Yeah, that's true.
So if you are going to do that, it's very, very important that you communicate and say, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is what you're doing. But let's get some things for the future figured out. And maybe it's like one spouse is going to put some money into a retirement tax deferred account and one's going to put into like a liquid, like a brokerage account or something.
Okay.
So you have different buckets. You just want to make sure that you're on the same page with where you want to go financially. How fast do we want to try to pay off our mortgage? Do we want to help our kids with college? I mean, there's tons of these
things
discussions that you've got to talk about. Because if you don't, it just will not happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
you'll just float through life, and in the end, you'll be like, hey, where'd all my money go?
Yeah. The thing about the separate accounts and maybe the bills or the things to combine and then have separate accounts, because I remember when I was married, we shared everything. I was a stay-at-home mom, and he did the bills and stuff like that. But if he bought me flowers and stuff, I was a saver. And so I'd be like, don't buy me flowers because we can't afford it and everything like that. I told him they just die and blah, blah, blah. But I actually love flowers.
You love them. and he was trying to get a gesture of kindness.
He was.
But it's easy to be that way.
Yeah. I wish that I hadn't been. And I don't want to be because I love flowers and it's a nice gesture and it's a big deal to me. So I think with the separate accounts, it's like,
kind of get you the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Because we'd each be using our own to get each other things and it wouldn't take away from any of the bills or...
Yeah, so that would be what I would call a non-budget money.
Okay.
So you've got your budget money that is for the bills that you have to pay.
Okay.
And then you've got your kind of fun or entertainment money. And that's what you would keep in your own separate places. You don't have to account to each other about what you spend that money
on.
Because that's your freedom money.
Okay.
And if you want to save every penny of it, you can. And if he wants to blow every penny of his, he can. I wouldn't recommend it. But he can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can still be happy because all of your bills are paid. And you can do whatever you want with yours.
Yeah.
Down the road or whatever.
Yeah. I think that sounds good. I have suggested it to someone before I was even dating anybody. I was talking to somebody who's looking at getting married, and I suggested maybe separate accounts. Just because thinking it through, I would think that that would be the best scenario maybe for me. So she suggested it to her fiance or whatever, and he was just so appalled. I don't know if it comes across like, you don't trust me or you don't love me enough to share everything. I don't know.
Well, and that's something that you've got to be really, really careful about. And that comes back to the communication again. So as you're embarking on this life together, one of the really important things you've got to do is talk about your expectations for that kind of stuff. For me, when I first got married, I just added my husband to everything I had because I was the one with established credit and I was the one with savings and I was the one. So, and he had like a $500 credit limit on a student visa kind of thing. You know what I mean? And I'd like had a credit card forever that I paid off every month and whatever. So automatically he had a much deeper credit history by marrying me and me adding to him to everything that I did. And I really took care of all the money anyway. So it made way more sense for me to just have it all together.
Yeah.
But I did give him an allowance every month where I would say, okay, this is your fun money. It's in cash in your little envelope. You spend it on whatever you want. And I had it too, so that he wasn't spending my fun money. Because that's the other thing. When you're a saver, it's really easy to be like, what the crap? Like, I could have had this or this or this that I wanted. But instead, you blew all this money on this other thing.
That's
so true. It's important to give yourself a fun allowance too. even if it's small. Like when we first started, I think it was $25 a month or something. Like it was ridiculously small, but it's
but
what we could afford.
Was, yeah, when yeah. you when you're scraping by. Or
back in the olden
budgeting.
Days when yeah. I was young. Anyways, but that's the thing. You have to do what you can afford.
Uh-huh.
But having some of that flexibility is really good for your mental health.
Yes.
Because it takes away that somebody's controlling me
yes.
factor.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
For sure.
So whether you accomplish that in separate accounts or mm-hmm. you accomplish that with, hey, here's your cash, or you accomplish that by saying, here's the amount of money that you are welcome to spend without talking to me first.
Yes.
Sometimes people do it that way. Like, if you're going to buy something that's more than $100, mm-hmm. let's talk about it
yeah,
first.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of couples do that.
Yeah. But if yeah. it's like $20, then mm-hmm. go for it or whatever.
Yeah.
It just depends on what stage of your finances you're at.
It's true.
What
it's
stage true. Of life, what mm-hmm. kind of income level you have. There's a lot of variables, but the big thing is communication.
Yes, I think that's true because, I mean, at this stage of life, for people out there who have been divorced and, you know, are around my age in their 50s or 40s or whatever, and getting married again, there's a whole new set of things to talk about mm-hmm. because both of you probably are established in a career.
You actually have stuff.
Yeah, and you have stuff. That's so true.
When you're young and dumb and it's
you
like a crapshoot, whether it's
yeah.
going to work or not,
yeah.
it's like whatever.
Yeah.
What are you really risking?
Exactly. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. there are people out there, we've all heard of the gold diggers mm-hmm. or the guys who are one thing and then you get married to them and they turn into another thing. You know, it's just
I've been listening to way too much true crime. Yeah.
Well, it's true. There are situations out there like that and it's unfortunate, but you do have to really communicate and protect yourself
and set expectations of what you want to see
yes.
happen.
Yes. I think that's a big deal. Set expectations financially and in every other area. I mm-hmm. think that's good advice for couples getting married. Because my girls had a shower for me and that was one of their advice is to set expectations. And I never really thought about it, but it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with finances.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If you're expecting to build a brand new house or you're expecting, I mean, there's just so
yeah.
many things. Even like we said back, talking about if you're going to help with your kids with college,
mm-hmm.
like you've got to kind of establish those things because
mm-hmm.
those are big purchases.
Yeah. And this time of life, getting remarried, you've got stepkids and, you know,
and things
two
that
sets
you've
of
already
kids,
started.
Maybe. Exactly.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice on how do you feel about credit cards?
Yeah. So credit cards can be awesome. Actually, they can be a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
They can also get you in trouble in a hurry. So you have
yeah,
to manage them for sure. One thing, a lot of credit cards will offer great reward programs,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. For example, this last year, I ended up owing a lot of taxes.
Yes.
Because I didn't do very good planning for myself. Which
mm-hmm.
I just got busy and I,
yeah.
you uh-huh. know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
So I ended up owing taxes. And so I had a Delta rewards card,
mm-hmm.
pre-approved, whatever, with a bazillion bonus miles, yada,
mm-hmm.
yada, if you put
yeah.
X amount of dollars on in the first year or whatever. Well, it so happens that I owed more in tax than what I needed to put on in the first year.
Oh,
so
nice.
I just paid my taxes with my credit card,
mm-hmm.
which I paid a little extra service fee or whatever with IRS, but I was able to pay for my flights to Hawaii.
Nice.
With my miles. So it saved
yeah.
me way more money.
That's true.
Than the small percentage that I paid to be able to pay with the
so
credit card.
You got a trip to Hawaii for paying your taxes.
Right. Aren't I a good
that be
American?
Great? Yes.
But, you know, there's like stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
if you are willing to be a full time game the system person, I mean,
yeah.
there's a million rewards out
yeah.
there that you can do, travel rewards
mm-hmm.
and different things like that. I have not been that way.
There's a lot of
just
research
takes
you
a
have
lot
to do
of,
on
yeah.
those. I have a friend who they go to Hawaii every year because of that. Because
they pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding.
Probably. They probably throw their taxes on there too, but everything else they put on the credit card and then they just pay it
yeah,
off
right.
every month.
Well, and that's exactly right. So as long as you treat it like you don't spend the money before you have it,
mm-hmm.
or if you treat it like a short-term financing, if you have a huge thing that comes up that you really just absolutely hit you and it
yeah.
was more than what you had saved and
mm-hmm.
whatever, and you can get it paid off in a month or two and not have to pay a grundle of interest, it's a good option
mm-hmm.
to give you some leverage if you need it in your
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
But it can become a big burden and get out of hand really fast.
Yes.
And
yeah.
because it's revolving credit, the interest is accumulating every single month, and it's on the new balance. So every time the balance goes up, the interest adds to the balance goes up, more
wow,
interest.
Yeah.
And so it can get out of hand.
Control.
Yeah.
You'd think that you have in mind what you've spent or whatever, but that's not how it adds up so
well,
fast.
Yeah. And if you're only paying, like, let's say the minimum payment,
mm-hmm.
well, maybe the minimum payment's like $25,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that doesn't even cover your interest in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, you might be paying on that thing for 15
a
years or whatever.
Time. Yeah.
And it's meant to be a short term.
Yeah.
The credit card companies love it when you do
yeah,
that. But
they're not meaning
the
it
worst
for it
thing,
to be short term.
Yeah, exactly. The worst thing you can do, talking about dating and marriage, and
mm-hmm.
is get a credit card and run it up and not tell your spouse about it.
Yes. Very
that,
true.
That is kind of common, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I hear about it all the time.
Mm.
But to me, I feel like that's financially cheating.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what
true.
I mean?
It is
because
true.
You're not being open and honest
mm-hmm.
with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in financial trouble, you've got to get it out there. You have got to communicate
yes.
that
yeah.
with your fiance or with your
mm-hmm.
spouse or with
person that you're getting serious with.
Yeah. yeah. It's something that's going to impact their life.
Yeah. It's for sure.
And they won't
for
want sure. to sign a joint married filing joint return. We talked about it a few
no.
episodes
yes,
ago.
Yes, yes. They will not.
They
might
won't
not
trust
even
you.
Want to sign the marriage license.
Right. Exactly.
So, well, thanks, Andrea. I think it's good to remember to not only be open with your partner, but also set the expectations. Talk about things. Communication.
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for being on and for sharing with us your financial advice.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
Hey, are you spinning an indecision? Maybe you're stuck wondering where or how to move forward. Or are you at the point where you can just take one day at a time? I'm a dating coach and I can help. In my one-to-one coaching calls, we'll talk about where you are now, where you want to be, and how I can help you get there. We can do this. I believe in you. Do you want dating tips, funny stories, and real-life experiences on the joys and sorrows of being single? Follow me on Instagram, Dating by Deb, and please interact. I love socializing with you.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson, sponsored by Dating by Deb.